Morning, everyone. Is that a bit more normal? Yeah, I think so. Morning to everybody online as well. Well, how do you follow Dave Kaplan singing? I don't know, really. but I'll do my best. this morning, I'd like to tell you a story. So, are you sitting comfortably?
Yes.
Then I'll begin. Like all good stories, it starts off a long time ago in a land far away. Actually, it was in the first century in the Christian era, so within 100 years of Christ dying and rising again. And it takes place in a country called Armenia. Two apostles of Christ, Bartholomew and Thaddeus, traveled to Armenia with a vision to bring all the people of that country to Christ. And in fact, they did manage to bring one or two people to Christ in Armenia, but it remained a deeply paganistic country for hundreds of years, in fact, 200 years, until under the reign of one of the most tyrannical pagan kings in Armenia, a young man called Gregory came from Caesarea. He was a Christian convert himself. And he came to Armenia and joined the king's service, keeping his Christian faith hidden for fear of his life. And things went on okay, and actually he became one of the king's favorites, until the day the king issued an edict that everybody in the country had to pay a tribute and bring an offering to a pagan goddess. And Gregory refused. The king flew into an absolute rage and had him thrown into a pit. I've actually been to Armenia and I've been in that pit. And it's a very unpleasant place. It's about 6 meters, that's about 20 feet for you non-metric people, 20 feet deep. And it's not a big wide pit with that's open to the air. It's a little cavern underground that's only accessed through a hole big enough for somebody to be thrown through. And it's dark and it's damp and it's horrible. And the king had him thrown into this pit to die. And actually, he was there for 14 years, only because a widow who had become a Christian received in a dream a message from God to say there was a man in the pit who needed keeping alive, and she baked a loaf of bread every day and took it and threw it into the pit to keep Gregory alive. 14 years after Gregory was thrown in the pit, King Tiridates III, his name was, just for your information, became very ill. Weirdly, he became physically and mentally so ill that people, the historians say, he acted and even began to look like a wild boar. And he was so ill that people were fearing for him. And his sister, although a pagan, received from God a message in a dream to say, there is a man who can save the king. His name's Gregory, and he's in this pit in a place called Korvirap in Armenia. And everybody said, no, he's dead. He was thrown in the pit ages ago. But nonetheless, they went and looked, and they found Gregory alive, miraculously. They brought him to the king, and Gregory prayed for the king. After 14 years in the pit, Gregory prayed for that pagan king. And the miracle happened, the king got better. And the king actually became a Christian because of what Gregory had done for him. And he proclaimed that the whole country of Armenia would be a Christian country. It actually became the first Christian country in history. Even 20 years before the Emperor Constantine accepted the Christian faith into the Roman Empire. So Bartholomew and Thaddeus had a vision that the whole of Armenia would come to Christ, but it took 200 years for it to happen. They had a vision, but it only happened in God's good time. And today, 95% of the population of Armenia are still Christians and practicing Christians. It's an amazing history. Stepping forward a little bit in time, some of you might recognize some of these words I'm going to say. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. The words of Prime Minister Winston Churchill on June the 4th, 1940, in Britain's darkest hour. But not many of us can recall the words he said after those famous words. Until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and liberation of the old. Churchill, who was not necessarily a very devout man, still had faith that rescue would come. And of course it did, although there was much suffering in the meantime. And the Bible's full of stories of people who waited for God in one way or another and had kept their faith that their prayers would be answered. Abraham and Sarah, although they took the matter into their own hands, the impact of which we're feeling still today. Joseph of the coat of many colours, who had to suffer much before he was able to fulfil what he needed to do for the people of Israel. Moses and the tribes of Israel waiting to go into the promised land. And so on and so on. And at this time of year, particularly appropriate, Zechariah and Elizabeth waiting for a child, waiting for the son who's to come to earth to be the herald for the Son of God who is coming to earth. So many people who have in faith waited for God to answer their prayers. So surely the challenges that face us today, which seem to each of us so great, they need to summon equal faith from us and a sure confidence in God's providence for us in God's good time. Before Christmas, we had a short sermon series called Silent Light. We studied those times when God appears to be absent, when prayers appear to be unanswered. And it both challenged me and it left a lot of questions in my mind. Because to be honest, I find it really, really difficult to accept the concept of God's good time when so many awful things are happening in our world. And so many people are suffering in so many ways. We've heard already about some of the awful things that are happening. Russia and Ukraine, the nation of Israel and Gaza, civil wars and fighting across Africa, corrupt politicians, even in our own country, our own wonderful country. Privatized companies who are reaping the rewards going into a few people's pockets while others suffer because they can't afford electricity. Sewage being pumped into our rivers and polluting our water. All of these awful things going on because of poor government, because of the corruption and the greed and the selfishness in our society. And I look at all that and I say, I can't just blithely say, it's all in God's control, and in good time, it'll all come right. It stretches my faith almost to breaking point. Does anybody else feel the same as I do? Or is it just me? Sometimes you really do wonder. And what do you do? What do you do when you reach that level? Well, you look in the Bible, don't you? Because that's where we look for the truth. That's where we look for the reassurance. And I did. And I find many times in the Bible when I read it, yes, I think, actually, I do have to keep faith. It will be all right. There is a timing that God has, and it's not necessarily ours. And things may be bad for me, may be bad for other people, may be bad for whatever, but God is in control somehow, and in his time, there will be justice, although we may not see it. So, yes, there is reassurance, but actually, I wanted a bit more, because reading the Bible is fine, but sometimes you need to translate that conceptual and theoretical idea into something practical as well. So I tried to find practical ways to help as well. And I did find some. I'm going to share them with you this morning. The first thing I realized was that about God's good time is there are three principles of God's good time that we need to recognize. The first of which is God's timing is never too early. Psalm 27 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. God's timing is never too early. God knows when to show up and do something. If we have to wait, then the delay might be for a number of good reasons that God has for us. It could be that we are able to do something else in the meantime. It could be that God is waiting for specific circumstances to come about before it's the right time to act. The other principle that I've learned is God's timing is never late. It's just that we don't understand God's timing because our sense of timing is actually so limited. I came across what I thought was a brilliant expression, and I can't remember who actually coined it, but the expression goes, how can we, with our wristwatches on our wrist, dictate to God timing when he's in control of the whole cosmos and cosmic time? We are just powerless in terms of God's might and his sense of timing and his sense of purpose. So God's timing is never late. In other words, God's timing is perfect. In Galatians we read, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In God's good time, God sent his son for our redemption. God's timing is always perfect. But I'm still looking for these practical things. What do I do? Well, actually, I found some really helpful ideas that I've started practicing, and I want to share those with you this morning. The first of which, and you will have heard this before, is we have to count our blessings. Now, probably 2 years ago, I think, some good friends of mine gave me a little book of empty pages. It's like a note, a little notebook. And it sat on my, in my office for 2 years, waiting for me to do something with it. And I had no idea what I was going to do with it, because I don't write. I use a computer. Until I found this thing that said, count your blessings. You must, every day, when you think the day has been awful and everything's gone wrong, you need to sit down at the end of the day and say, what good things has God given you today? And I've done it religiously ever since that idea came to my mind, and that little book is gradually getting filled up with good things that God's done to me every day. So thank you, the good friends who gave me the book. Eventually I found a good use for it. And it works. It actually works. I found, even on the darkest of days, when things really have gone awry, I can always find something that says, yeah, actually, that was good. Yeah? Maybe one day, it might only be, God's kept me alive today, miraculously. Yeah, but it's enough. The second thing I learned was, live in the present moment. Yeah, it's no good thinking too much about the future and all those things that should be and could be happening. Just think about what's going on at the moment, waiting for things to happen, but living in the present moment, doing things in the present moment. The third thing I learned was, find a community to share your issues with. God did not make us to be alone. God did not make us to fight battles on our own. When we're down, when we're dejected, when we can't live with all the injustice in the world, meet with some people, talk it through with them, share, be transparent, let them help. Although sometimes we feel that our circumstances aren't changing and life's standing still, that may not be the absolute truth, and we need other people to give us another perspective on life. If you're transparent and share what's going on in your life, others can help you see things differently. God never anticipated that we should live life alone. We need other people. Accept your current circumstances and let go of control. Let God take control. So, acceptance of current circumstances is not actually giving in. It's just accepting that we can't do anything about it and letting God take control in his good time. So, let go. One of the practical things that I think we've done in this church before is sometimes when you really do have an issue that is on your mind and you can't get rid of it, to grab hold of it in your hand and squeeze it as tight as you can, and then throw it away and let God take it and let God take control of your life again. Let the time in wait be a gift. While we're waiting for things to happen for us, while we're waiting for things to happen in the world, don't just sit and do nothing, but use the time. There could be all sorts of things that we could be doing to help ourselves in the meantime. We talked about meeting with other people. Yeah, do it. There's so many things we can do. As long as we can put away this burden that we actually don't have to bear, God will bear it for us, and in his time, we'll do the right thing. I don't know whether these suggestions will be helpful to you or not, but certainly they've helped me. And then I'm sure they will continue to help me as well. We all wait for something, but how we wait is our choice. And I mean, one of the things I have learned is it's not a question of what life throws at us. The question is, how do we react and how do we deal with it? That's what's most important. I've got a few lines of a prayer that I'd like to read. And then I'm going to ask you for a response, a real response, not just sitting and listening, but a real response. So let's pray. Lord, give me patience in this hour as I wait for you, knowing that you've heard my prayer. Lord, this road is a little unsettling, and I can't see how it will all work out. So help me trust that you will not fail me. Lord, I thank you that the answer is on the way, even though I don't know which direction it's coming from. Lord, you promised to take care of the lilies and the sparrows, so I rest in you, knowing you will take care of me as well. Lord, help me not to run ahead and try to fix it, but give you your time to move. Lord, I'm tired, and this is taking so long, so give me strength so I don't give up. Lord, when I'm uncertain about what you're doing, help me remember that you have always been faithful and will do what you promised. Lord, thank you that your promises are yes and amen, which means your timing is also yes and amen. Lord, thank you that your faithfulness to me is not solely dependent on my faithfulness to you, but you see my weakness and still come through as you have promised. Lord, thank you for who you are and help me to rest, knowing you will do just as you have said. Amen. We have in the past sometimes used a response in this church, and I'm hoping that somebody, some of you, will remember, even though you don't make New Year resolutions. If I was to say to you, God is good all the time, how would you respond? Yay! Good. And if I was to say to you, all the time God is good, how would you respond? Great, okay. Well, I can hardly hear you. Let's do it again. As if we mean it. God is good all the time.
All the time God is good.
All the time God is good.
God is good all the time.
Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to sing our final song before Dave comes to close our service this morning. And it's very appropriate as we come to the end of this year that we sing this song, Lord for the Years. Lord for the years your hand has led and guided, and will continue to do so in God's good time. Let's sing.